Kawhi up top, looks at the clock, turns the corner for the win! Got it! Kawhi Leonard! With the game winner!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Take 6 podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Surplus. To join me to talk a little bit of Raptors, as always, is Callum Wise. Mr. Callum Wise, how are you doing 2 days later?
Buddy, it's still surreal. It's still playing through my mind every time I close my eyes, man. It's just insane that happened, and I love it.
Yeah, so on Sunday night at around 9:30-ish, probably the biggest shot in, or probably the biggest moment in Toronto sports happened with the Kawhi Leonard shot and the four bounces and the buzzer beater and game seven. To me, it was poetic, right? It was an insane shot at the end of a game that Vince Carter would have felt this excitement. Obviously, they weren't at home in 2001, but Vince Carter would have gotten the same praise and love if he had hit his shot in game seven 18 years ago. Obviously, that didn't happen, and this series was pretty much turned out the exact same way as that Philly series did in 2001. So it was nice to see the ball bounce literally in our favor four times, I guess. Mm-hmm. Where were you, and how did you react to the shot, Callum?
I was at home for this game, the first game this postseason that I was at home. The rest of the time, I think I was either at your place or we were out at some bar somewhere, or obviously the game. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that I went absolutely bonkers when that shot went in. I was sitting, like, my parents were there and my brother was there, and I just got up, just started yelling, and I ran outside into the streets, and I made sure that every neighbor knew that Kawhi Leonard hit that shot.
That's hilarious. That's the best. That's the only way you should have reacted, to be honest. If anyone in here didn't do that, they're nuts. The best thing, like, one of my favorite parts about that whole shot and, like, the whole reaction to it was there were a bunch of reaction videos kind of going around Twitter and Instagram and Facebook or whatever of how people reacted to those shots. And they basically had the same reaction as you did, Callum, right? Just kind of jumping up, yelling and screaming and running out into the streets, basically. So, yeah, I think you're right there with that. Everyone else, kind of the way they reacted and how all of Toronto reacted. And, you know, I was at that game with my mom on Sunday, and honestly, like, I just, like, I totally fucked up my knee. Like, I hit my knee on something in front of me, dude. And, like, today it is, like, I've never had a part of my body be so, like, purple, black, and blue. It's nuts. It's nuts, but it was all worth it. But even, like, from me being there and, like, how crazy the crowd went, like, the crowd was going nuts for, like, probably 4 or 5 minutes after the shot happened. Like, nobody was leaving. Everybody was just, they were in shock. They were just like cheering and chanting MVP for Kawhi, chanting We the North, chanting Let's Go Raptors. There was like 5 or 6 different chants going on in that, you know, 5-6 minute period after Kawhi Leonard hit that shot. And it was just like you said, it was surreal. I still didn't really believe it. I've watched it about north of 100 times. Like, Callum, over under 99.5 times. How many times have you watched this? Over under 99.5.
Oh, over for sure. But yeah, for the past 2 days, that's all that's been on my feed, and I love every single time I see it. It's just like the amount of angles that you can, like, you get to watch, man, is insane. Like, oh, so amazing, especially the angle where they're focused on Embiid crying like a little baby.
So I, you know, speaking about all the angles, there's a really good thread that Chris Black, one of our guests from 2 weeks ago, had on his Twitter feed, and he basically posted all of the replays that TNT broadcasted at some point through that night when showing the shot. And I think there were nine of them, or there were nine of his favorites. And each one is absolutely absurd. Like, I've watched that probably four, five, maybe six times, each of those, you know, the whole thread, so like each nine of the videos. And every time I'm like, holy shit, this guy hit that shot. He hit that shot. Like, from the whole theatrics of like what was that shot, and obviously the what came after it, all the excitement, all the hype, what was your favorite part? Was it the shot? Was it the anticipation leading up to it? Like, what when you think of that shot is going to be like, is going to stick in your mind?
Man, just, I mean, obviously it dropping, like, after those four bounces is just, it's like time stopped, man. It was insane. But I think the fact that he missed a free throw and then Jimmy Buckets came down and tied the game with 4 seconds left, and everyone just, like, that's when I just, like, lost my mind. I was just like, all right, you got to be kidding me. Kawhi Leonard just missed a free throw? Like, what? And he knew that. He said in those post-game interviews, like, yeah, man, I missed a shot, so I had to make up for it. I was like, well, buddy, you did that in Ansem. Like, oh, that shot, it's just, like you said, it's like probably the, at least for me, it's the best moment in Toronto sports history, at least for our time. It has to be.
So I've got two questions. Well, I'm going to make a comment on that kind of Kawhi missed free throw and then like the Jimmy Butler thing. I think like the minute and a half leading up to that, obviously the shot and the Kawhi shot is kind of being undermined, because they had some like both the Raptors and the Sixers had some really, really big plays late in that game. Obviously, you said that Kawhi missed that free throw, but right before that, Pascal Siakam made one of the toughest layups I've ever seen.
Oh,
he's
my
going,
God, that
right?
was stupid.
See, Kyle Lowry makes the steal on one end, and that was a bulldog play. And people who said Kyle Lowry had a bad game, yeah, maybe he didn't shoot the ball very well. I think he was 1 of 7 from three. He didn't shoot the ball very well, but defensively, he was there.
Wait,
defensively,
we would not have won that game without Kyle Lowry.
That's the thing, man.
He made that game possible to win.
And so that Siakam layup at the end over Jimmy Butler, you probably should have got an and one. I understand why they didn't call it. That's one of the most difficult layups I've ever seen made that isn't like an up and under kind of thing, or one of those like MJ switching hands
that,
type
that
shit.
That Kawhi layup he got.
Yeah. Oof. Oof. So that Kawhi missed shot free throw was undermined. That should be played up a little bit more. And I know Skip Bayless is running on that for his whole damn life. He's going to be, yeah, well, he missed that free throw. That shot wasn't that good. Shut it, Skip.
Skip is an idiot, so it doesn't matter.
The Siakam layup at the one end after Kyle Lowry's steal, and then obviously the Jimmy Butler layup. Those are all getting downplayed a whole lot, or they're just kind of in the shadow of this, of that amazing shot that Kawhi took. And I think that's a little bit unfair because of how amazing all those plays were, how clutch they were, how difficult they were to make and get into that situation. So those ones, I mean, if you're watching the Kawhi Leonard replay 100 times, if you're a Raptors fan, if you're a basketball fan, go watch that last minute and a half, 2 minutes, if possible, because it is nuts. It is insane. The going back and forth and Jimmy Butler tying it up and Kawhi missing the free throw and Siakam and Lowry just playing like a bulldog, man. And then you mentioned that it's the biggest moment in Toronto sports. Obviously, probably before this, I think the biggest moment was the bat flip. And there's been conversation on, was this better than the bat flip, or was the bat flip moment better than this? So, Callum, try to be as like, don't know recency bias as possible. I know there's going to be some regardless, but what do you think? Like, when you think about it, what is that moment? Like, do you think that the Kawhi shot took over that best Toronto sports moment?
I mean, like, they are both insane. Like, I watched both of them live, and like, obviously recency bias has a big thing, but I think the fact that Kawhi shot just literally won us the game in that moment, I think that's what makes it better for me. Like, obviously, Bautista's home run did technically win us the game, but it wasn't immediate, right? It was not immediate. There was still a two, walk-off or anything. Three innings. There was three innings, right? It was in the sixth. Yeah.
It was the seventh.
It was the seventh? Okay, yeah. So there's still two innings left of waiting to see what happens. But Kawhi's shot, all you had to wait for was that millions of minutes of the ball hitting the rim, obviously. But it was right then and there. Like, when that ball dropped, we won the game. Like, I think that's when, like, everyone went crazy, more than ever before. Like, the only other obviously, Toronto Maple Leafs winning Stanley Cups like 50 years ago, it doesn't matter. I saw a stat, like, this broke the record for most like views at one time, like for like a Canadian channel or something, like 5.5 million. I was like, that's insane. 5.5 million people tuned into that to see that happen.
Yeah, and to me, like, the magnitude of this shot, I think, surpasses whatever the bat flip. Obviously, it was a great experience. It was a great thing to see. It was one of the best, like, up until now, probably the best moment in Toronto sports history. But I think that there's obviously an argument to be made that mostly what happened before that bat flip occurred is what kind of made it so much more exciting, because, you know, Russell Martin threw the ball off the bat. And the controversy that happened after that, with the runner scoring and kind of giving up that lead and losing a little bit of momentum. And then the errors that happened before Jose Bautista got up to bat. And then obviously the bat flip in itself was probably bigger than the home run. So, like, I think the play in general just is more of a sports moment than just a bat flip, right? I think people remember the bat flip. They don't remember the home run. For this, they're going to remember Kawhi sprinting to the corner with 4 seconds left and having the ball rattle off the rim four times before dropping. So to me, I think this is probably on the same level as like the golden goal that Crosby scored in the, I think it was 2012 Olympics, mm-hmm. in that overtime against the USA. It's a game seven. Obviously, the golden goal was the finals in overtime. So it was kind of like a buzzer beater, just like this one was. And it was the best player in the world at the time making that shot. So I think instead of the bat flip, you should be kind of relating it closer to the golden goal. Callum, I think that's enough talk about this. Like, I don't know. I tried to do this podcast twice already. I tried to do a solo one the night of, like right after it happened. When I got home, I tried to do one, and I just couldn't because I was left speechless. And like, I still don't know like how to really verbalize what I want to say and like communicate everything that was going through my head at the moment. So we can just like talk about the rest of the series and kind of the rest of the game seven here. What was the biggest factor, non-Kawhi factor, I should say, that kind of led this team to winning this series against a really, really tough Philadelphia team?
In the series, man, I think it's going to have to be a Kyle Lowry, just because of like his presence on the court, man. Even though he wasn't shooting that great, like you said, like the bulldog plays, man. He was just out there no matter what. Like, even if he was shooting bad, he was getting those steals. He was driving to the net, like getting open looks for everyone. And I think for game seven, I think the turning factor was definitely Serge Ibaka. This guy actually had a good game. He was probably the best. He was shooting the best on the team during game seven. He hit three threes, I think, like, which was big. And, oh, bro, that three that he hit late in the fourth, man.
Oh, whew, my God.
That was nutty. That, like, I think both of those guys have to, like, bow. Please take a bow for everyone.
Take a
like,
bow.
They definitely helped us get through that tough series. And yeah, man, like going into those next years, they're going to have to just, we're going to have to step it up even further, because I think Milwaukee is a whole nother monster.
Yeah, I like that pick of Kyle Lowry because he did bring it every single night, but I'm going to go with Marc Gasol because Marc Gasol was such a tough matchup for Joel Embiid. And before the series, I wasn't sure how this matchup was going to play out and how they were going to be able to deal with Embiid and Simmons and Butler and all those guys. But the biggest one that I was worried about was Embiid because obviously Marc Gasol is a whole lot older than Joel Embiid and has been through a lot more in terms of wear and tear with his body. And I was scared that maybe they weren't going to be able to get past what was, you know, Joel Embiid and what is one of the best players in the NBA. And Joel Embiid showed flashes. Obviously, he had that massive, what was it, game four or game three?
Game three.
Game three. He had that massive game three with 33 points. I think he had 10 or 12 rebounds and just dominated the whole night. But then Nick Nurse kind of found his way and said, you know what, I'm going to match every single minute that Joel Embiid is out there with Marc Gasol. And he literally did that in game seven. Marc Gasol played 45 minutes and 11 seconds, matched every single minute with Joel Embiid. And one thing that I really noticed and that I really, really liked in that series, especially near the end, was the communication between player and coaches when you know, Serge Ibaka saw Joel Embiid kind of going up to the scorer's table. Serge Ibaka knew that he was coming out right away, and he made sure to let Nick Nurse know, I'm coming out. And he was telling Marc Gasol multiple different times, pretty much every single game, that, yeah, you got to come in. You got to get your warm-up gear off. You got to get out there, and you got to dominate this guy. So to me, it's Marc Gasol. Obviously, he wasn't the biggest it factor in terms of his scoring ability. And at many times during this series, I was super upset with this guy not even looking towards the basket and just, you know, just looking for the pass and playing some really ugly basketball at times. But when push came to shove and when you have to be matched up against the other team's single most great player, like Joel Embiid is a top three center in the league at, you know, at worst, you know, he's probably top two, maybe the best when it comes
this season. He was the best. 100%. Him and Jokic were the
there
best.
There it is, right? Yeah. And so you see that, and you see Marc Gasol at an old age, a grizzled vet, being able to kind of shut down Joel Embiid. And obviously he didn't shut him down completely, but shut him down in the sense that Joel Embiid wasn't able to do what he wanted to do, and the Sixers weren't able to do what they wanted to do was fantastic and was something that I did not expect. Right, I did not expect that. So obviously Kawhi Leonard was the best player. Pascal Siakam was probably number two, but then Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry, both of those guys, like, you couldn't have picked a wrong other factor other than Kawhi to win that series. How do you see this team matching up against our conference final opponents in terms of the Milwaukee Bucks?
I mean, there's going to be, obviously, because of Antetokounmpo, it's going to be tough. And they do have a really well-balanced team. They're not like a six-man rotation like we are. They use their bench quite well, actually. And I think we are going to match up pretty good, though. I think Gasol can stop Antetokounmpo from just like dominating the rim, but obviously you can't stop him in his tracks because he is the most dominant player right now in the NBA, just doing whatever he wants. And I think Gasol can help stop that, like he did with Embiid, because Embiid is one of the like toughest players to stop in the NBA, because he's just such a big body and he's pretty nimble, man. Like he played soccer just like Siakam. They know how to run their feet. And he stopped Embiid pretty much in his tracks, like you said. Obviously, him getting still a couple points, but man, I think it'll be a really good series. I think it will go to seven, and I don't know which way it's going to go, to be honest, because even though Milwaukee's a great team, I think that they can be stopped. Like Boston, I don't know. They were a mess. I didn't have any doubt in my mind that they beat Boston just because of what's going on in their own camp. But I think Toronto can do a good job against Milwaukee, but it's going to be a super tough series just because Milwaukee did do really good against us this season in the four game series that we had. I think they went 3-1, and two of them were blowouts in their favor. So I think, yeah, I think it will go seven games.
Yeah, the matchup to me is very interesting, and how they're going to play this team is also going to be very interesting, because like you said, they do have so many good role players and bench guys. Six of their guys on the roster averaged more than 10 points this year. Obviously, Giannis with 27.7 led that. But then you have Chris Middleton with 18.3, Eric Bledsoe basically at 16, Brooke Lopez 12.5, Malcolm Brogdon 15.5 basically, and then Nikola Mirotic 11.5. So like, they are looking pretty scary all around, and they're going to be a very tough matchup. So like, are you just going to kind of let Giannis do Giannis things and then try to just guard everybody else? Or are you going to try to stop Giannis from dominating and being the best guy on the floor and kind of let everyone get their things? And there's no real easy way to really to fix this team, right? And to defend this team, because like you said, they are so good. They're so good offensively. They're so good defensively. They had pretty much the best offense in the year, in the league this year. They had the most points per game. Their offensive rating was fourth. They had the best defense in the league, but the Raptors in the playoffs have the best defensive rating in the league, and they played two really good offenses in terms of the Sixers and not so much the Magic, but they were decent enough to get a win, I guess. But yeah, like you said, like, we don't really know what this team is capable of, because they haven't really played a good team yet. Obviously, Boston is good and they showed flashes, but they weren't consistently good. And with all the problems that the Raptors had this series, they were still able to compete pretty much every single game with the 76ers, except for those two blowouts that were there. But other than that, they were able to compete every single game, despite basically only being able to play six useful guys. Like, obviously they played 7, 8 and 9 sometimes, but like, they're only really able to trust six guys on the court at any given moment. Hopefully they can come back into their own, and that game 7 win will be able to be a confidence booster for some of these bench guys who have been playing really, really poorly. Their defense, however, I don't think is going to change. Their defense is going to be just as good as it has been. They're all super committed against basically any other team in the whole league. They're super committed to switches. They're super committed to getting out on the block and getting, you know, getting chased down blocks, whatever it might be. Giannis is going to dominate, I think, mm-hmm. regardless, but so is Kawhi. And it might just end up being a series of who's got the better number one guy. If you are to think about this game 7 series, Callum, what do you think? Do you think that Kawhi Leonard is going to be that number one guy and kind of the best guy in the series? Or do you think that's going to be more of a Giannis? I was going to say Yasin. I don't know what the hell that means. Or more of a Giannis title.
I think it's definitely going to be just Kawhi all around, just because of his defense and his offense. Like, he's shown that he's been the best player in the playoffs against a better team in Philadelphia compared to Giannis against Boston. And they face Detroit, man. Like, Detroit is nothing. Like, I'm like, I'm surprised they didn't win in three games, man. Like they, I definitely think that Kawhi is going to be the man this series. I think, like, bro, he averaged so many points. Like he had, I saw the stat. It was the third most points scored in a seven game series ever, only behind Kareem and MJ.
But he's only a good defensive player. That's it.
Buddy, he only has big hands. That's it. That's the only thing he has.
That's it. That's all they can do. Yeah, and to me, one of the biggest things in this series is going to be whether Giannis can actually play big minutes, right? He has averaged only 31 minutes per game in these playoffs. In the regular season, he averaged, you know, roughly the same. So he really hasn't had, obviously there's been games where he's needed to go 40, 42 minutes. But I think that this series is going to be really close, really tough, grind it out type of series. I'm probably going to look like an idiot for saying this when it's all said and done, but I'm not 100% sure that Giannis is going to be able to play, you know, whether it's six or seven games like you think it's going to go, Callum. I'm not sure he's going to be able to play at a really high level for 42 minutes a night with guys like Siakam and Ibaka and Kawhi and maybe OG if he comes back guarding him, because these guys are all strong, tough, long, physical guys. I don't know if he's going to be able to handle the extra literally 10 minutes or more per night. That'll be, you know, if it goes seven games, that's an extra 70 minutes. It doesn't sound like a whole lot when you think about it, but per game with the physicality and with all the bumping and bruising, and especially the way he plays so hard in the paint. You see guys wear down by the end of a series. And I think maybe just because he hasn't shown it and he hasn't been doing it all season, I'm not positive we're going to be able to see a really great Giannis by the end of this series. He might have a little bit of a James Harden-esque descent in this series, but I'm probably going to look like a fool, to be honest, when it comes down to it.
It's like it's also insane that this guy averaged that little minutes and he got he had that many stats like on his side in that little time. It's like, obviously I think he should get the MVP this season because of like his how many points he got and everything like that in such a little amount of time. I think you're right. I think that he's not going to last against the best defense in the playoffs in the Toronto Raptors. And I don't think he can let, because he had, like we've talked about, he had two really easy series, man. They played, what, nine games? That's it?
Yeah, nine games, man.
That's pretty short. And he didn't even have to do anything. Like, he really did not have to play that many minutes. Like, Boston didn't really give up much of a fight. They got blown out a couple of those games. Like, I don't think that he will last that long if it goes seven games. He'll have to be swapped out, and that's when the Raptors can go to work. And so yeah, I think we'll definitely have a chance if Giannis can't stay on the court for more than 38 minutes for the entire series.
What do you think the key to a Raptors win is gonna be, like, in the whole series? What do you think?
Just defense, man. Like this, like you said, Milwaukee, most points per game, which is, yeah, they scored like 140 points a game, it looked like, during the regular season, man. They were unstoppable. So I think our tough defense versus their great offense is going to be the huge matchup. And obviously, like, just hitting those open shots, dude. Like, the open shots have been the plague of the Raptors this playoffs, man. If we hit our open shots, we would have beat Philly in four games, man. Like, it's stupid. We missed so many open shots. It's actually crazy how many open shots we missed. So I think defense is first, and then, like, the open shots, you got to hit those. Like, I know that's pretty easy to say, but it's like, you got to do it, man. Like, I don't know why they couldn't do it. But that's the key.
You are 100%. You're spot on with that, because like it's right, man. Like they probably would have won in 4 or 5 games if they did hit their open shots. To me, they have to win early and keep their. And this is also a very basic thing to say. They have to win early and they have to hold home court, because usually this Bucks team has been really good at home. They were 33-8 on the season at home. They put up 119 points while only giving up 107. That crowd is going to be nuts. This team hasn't been where it is now, and they haven't had a guy like this basically since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like Ray Allen's team with the Bucks, they went kind of far, but they never had a Giannis. They never had a guy as good as Giannis, an MVP candidate, except for kind of the Oscar Robertson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar days. So if they can hold home court advantage, the Raptors, and get a win in one of those first two games in Milwaukee, that is where, especially if they win game one, buddy, like it's over. And I said this, I think at the halfway point of the season when we did our All-Star Game podcast, when I was in Dominican, pretty in the bag, I think I said that if Pascal Siakam dunks on Giannis, we're going to win the championship. So this is Siakam has a whole 7 games. Well, I mean, depending on how long the series go, has a whole 7 games to make that happen. A whole 7 games to make that happen. And if he does, it's over. The Warriors might as well just go home.
And then Boogie comes back, and then it's a whole different story.
No, it's not. No, it's not. If Siakam yams it on Giannis,
he'll yam it on Boogie. It doesn't matter.
He'll yam it on all 10 of the Warriors roster. Whoever's on the Warriors roster, whoever's warming that bench for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, he's going to yam on all them too. So, Pascal, you heard it here. If you do that, the Raptors have a really, really, really good chance of winning the NBA Finals, man. So predictions, dude. Let's get into some predictions for this series. What do you think? How long does it go, and who wins?
I'm going to say 7, like I said before. And man, I think just coming off that Kawhi play, man, Raptors are going to take one of those first two games, and hopefully it's game one. And yeah, I think Toronto will take it in 7. I think that's what's going to go down. Or no, they'll take it in 6, because we'll have won one of those games, and then we'll have the home court for those next 3 Ws.
I like that prediction, Callum. Raptors in 6 is gutty. I was going to say that, but maybe I'll say 7 then. I was going to say Raptors in 6, but I'll say Raps in 7. But man, winning in Milwaukee is going to be
That's what I was thinking, man. Like, you got to go into Milwaukee.
Yeah, Raps in 6, baby. Raps in 6, baby. I'm banging the drum. Raps in 6.
Raps in 4, baby. Raps in 4.
What should the Raptors bring over from that last series against the Sixers in order to win this series in 6? What do they need to bring over, and what do they need to leave behind?
Pretty much the same things that I said are the keys to the game. Just the amazing defense on the star players, and not missing open shots, man. Like, obviously, you can rely on Kawhi for making those shots, but man, he also took 39 field goal attempts in that game. So I think we can't rely so heavily on him, because man, that 39 shots, bro, that is draining, man. That's pretty insane. So I think we need some guys to start making some shots. Bro, give the ball to Danny Green. This man didn't get any chances that game. Who knows how many shots he could have made? He was shooting well going into that game 7 as well. Just let Danny Green shoot some threes, man. He'll surprise you.
Yeah, I think defense is what we need to bring over the most. because obviously this was one of the best offenses in the whole league this year in Milwaukee. And if they can keep up the good defense, man, I don't know. And they've been honestly, the Raptors have been playing better defense than I've seen them play basically all season. They've had the intensity, and eventually, you know, their defense is going to turn into really good transition points. They forced 17 turnovers against Philadelphia, which led to 21 points off of turnovers. That's going to be the key to me. You have to get running, and you have to not be playing half-court basketball against this team, because once the Bucks' defense is set, same with ours. Once our defense is set, once the Bucks' defenses are set, they're tough to score on. So you've got to run. You got to get in transition. You got to make sure that these long guys that the Bucks have don't get in your passing lanes like they will, because it's the half court. The game slows down, but they got to try to get out there and run with the Bucks, because the Bucks are going to be running on offense. We're going to be running on offense. We have the best, you know, rim running guy in the league and Pascal Siakam on the break. So that's what I need to see from this team to get this W and to get early wins, like you said there, Callum. So that'll end the show today. As always, you can find us at take6.org. I'm finishing up a piece right now on that Kawhi Leonard shot. You can find us on anywhere you get your podcast, wherever you're listening to right now. Keep listening to us. Subscribe, follow, whatever the word is that it is. Do that. Give us a rating and review if you can, if it's available on the platform. And then obviously subscribe to our blog at take6.org. And then follow us on Twitter as well at @take_6. Callum, my man, always a pleasure chatting with you. We should be doing a Jays one at some point during the week.
Yep.